Welcome back to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Our guest is Shirin Nashat. She's the co-founder of the United Front of Military and Iranian People. Her website is alinashat.org. Before we get back to our guest, who's just a wonderful, tenacious woman with a lot of courage to speak up and to speak out and to educate the people in the West, all of us, about what's really taking place, what happened, who caused it, what it was like before, what it's like now and such, and guests like this, and of course her father was extremely high up in the government of the Shah. I mean, very high up, I would say chief of staff level at this point, comparative to our government. Before we get back to our guest, a couple of items. I do want to mention that we are on top of the Awan spy ring investigation. I had a meeting today. If you listen to my show today, it contains pretty much an excerpt of a show I did less than a month ago. That was my morning show. And I had to insert, I put that in there for a reason. So if you have a chance, if you didn't hear the original Awan spy case show right after the Andrew McCarthy indictment analysis, I would urge everyone to tune into the show, my daily show today. Because there are things happening behind the scenes. I got a call at 6 o'clock this morning, and this was from one of our investigative researchers inside the Beltway, who said, you know, we need to talk. And of course, that did happen. And I've got some additional information I'm about ready to break with respect to the spy ring. So I got an email from Bethany. Bethany, thank you very much. I'm not going to read the email right now, but trust me when I tell you that I'm going to be dedicating a lot of, voice and ink to the spy ring, which most people don't have any idea how deep this is and how complex this is. And Bethany, thank you. You're right on the tip of the spear with the information you have. That said, I also want to give again, if you're joining us late, the first segment was talking about Peter Barry Chalka's article, and I think it's a fantastic article. If you go to HagmannReport.com, and I would urge everyone to do that, Peter Barry Chalka has an article titled "A Study: White Christian Americans Are an Endangered Species," and he gets into an analysis of a 48-page report. And I would urge everyone to understand the significance of this, because this is an attack on our country, on our Western culture. And I'm going to leave it at that and refer back to, of course, the first segment. So I'm going to thank Peter Barry Chalka for that. And Michael Savage linked to that from his homepage, which I think is extremely interesting as well. And that shows the intellectual power of the writings of Peter Barry Chalka, who we're so fortunate to have as a writer for our show. But let's get back to Shirin Nashat, again, the co-founder of the United Front of Military and Iranian People, someone who witnessed firsthand and experienced firsthand the takeover from a westernized society that Iran was to this Islamic theocracy that is oppressing an entire nation. Shirin, I apologize for the abruptness of the break, but if you want to continue with what you were saying before the break, go ahead, because you were describing, well, you feel free to continue with what you were saying before the break. Or take it anywhere you'd like to go at this point, if you want to change direction or talk about anything else, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Doug. You know, there are a lot to talk.
Yes.
And thank you for giving me this opportunity. And for example, before we were living in a free country, and now the poor people under this regime, they have to sell their kidneys to get some money for living, and that's painful for me.
Mm.
Or I received an email a few days ago that there was a newborn baby. They found this baby in trash cans. What they have done they have got out his kidneys. And after that, they left this poor infant in the trash can. It's not only the infants, it's not only the babies. A lot of people in that country right now, because they want to survive, they are selling their kidneys.
To survive.
Just to survive. Doc, that's very, very painful. Don't look at the mullahs and their family and the family who are connected with this terrorist regime. Not all of them, I mean, but most of them. Just they are spending the money from that country for the Arabic countries. And when something happens or they want to have for voting or celebrating or anything, most of them are foreigners. They bring a lot of Palestinians to that country. The people who has executed are unsung heroes. The forces, the imperial forces of unsung heroes, they were from Palestine. They were from Basijis and Pasdaran. They were a lot of people from this terrorist regime in Iran. And that is painful. Doc, after 38 years, can you believe still they are hanging and executing people, young people, under the name of addictions or selling the drugs or thieves in that country in front of the eyes of the people?
Right.
Have you seen those?
Yes, yes.
If
I can say this, a lot of that information or a lot of the graphics or a lot of the optics from within Iran is being censored by the Western press. We have to go, for example, to the European press to get news about what's happening within Iran as opposed to the Western press, because they don't want to talk about this.
No, and I think the people, to be honest with you, I think they are afraid to talk about it. And one of the most important things for me here in this country is a lot of people from that government is coming to Europe. They are going to Europe or coming to United States.
Mm.
They get visa here, or they get their citizenships anywhere. They use the money that the government is leaving it for disabled or poor people. And then the funny thing is, every 5 months, 6 months, or a year, they are going back to that country and report all of us.
Wow.
I am the person that terrorist regime has a red carpet for me. And I can't go back, and I haven't been to my father's grave.
Okay. So you cannot, just to be clear on this,
mm-hmm.
You cannot return to your country of birth without fear of execution.
No, not at all. Not at all. See, if anybody doesn't have the problem staying over and they're coming to this country, I'm just talking for right now about America. And you know the euro. But they're coming and wearing the hijabs. If they want to wear the hijab or they want to do this and that, why they are not staying in that country? Why they are coming to our country over here? Why they are using the government money? Why they get their citizenship here?
Yes.
Why? Do you know, I think whoever gets here, if they go back to their country, they have to get their citizenship from United States. And they have they shouldn't be allowed. See, they are going back there. They are getting their salary, the monthly salary, which they are going to stack it for 6 months or a year over there. And they are getting help from this government, and they are living so comfortable.
Right.
But what about the people like us? We lost our father, we lost our husbands, we lost our brothers, we lost our sons. We don't have any backups. And we have worked here for many years, we have paid taxes. And when we get on disability or we need the money, the government is very hard on us. I'm talking about this unsung heroes family who are here.
Okay. Which, by the way, the website alinashot.org addresses, and you can go there and read. In fact, you've got a category, I think, labeled Unsung Heroes, if I'm not mistaken. Unsung Heroes main page. In fact, it's on the left control panel there. But you make a good point. You're saying that what we're witnessing is the exportation by the mullahs, I believe, right? Exportation of a culture that's being imposed on other countries.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay.
Look how many mosques we have.
Right.
I don't say all the Muslims are bad. No, I never say that, because Iran had Muslims during His Majesty. And I have respect for some of them, the true ones. But not what they're doing. And what we see, look at the terrorists. They're Shias. They're coming. They're Muslims.
Right.
But the good thing is, see, you never see any Iranian's name under these terrorist people, because we are not terrorists. We love all the people in the world. The Persians love peace. But look at the war between Iraq and Iran. Do you know how many kids have been killed?
No.
They are using the kids. They tell them you are going to heaven. What heaven? Heaven and hell is here.
Well,
I understand.
The fact that they are using the children as instruments of war is absolutely incredible. I mean, even in the worst of the worst, you can't have that. And of course, that came about with the deposing of the Shah and the installation of the mullahs, that form of government, and then it progressed as the Iran-Iraq war heated up, and of course now through the exportation of terror in the hotspots across the Middle East. That's what am I correct in understanding that?
Yes. Right. And do you know how many these children, how many of these children went on the means, and they have been killed?
No.
But that is something that you can never forget it. And we need some help, because the Iranian people are facing a criminal government, a terrorist government. I remember His Majesty's words. He said if he goes out of that country, not only Iran and the people become unsafe, even the Middle East and the world will be unsafe. And we see it these days. We see it, what he's told us.
Well, that was and let's talk about that, because you have firsthand eyewitness. I mean, if anyone in this country right now can talk about this, it's you. Your father having such a high position in the Shah's government, in fact, being executed on April 10th, I believe that's what you said.
Yes.
April 10th, 1979, when your father was executed, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So what, and I think there's a lot of misunderstanding or lack of knowledge. What happened with the Iranian Revolution? Carter, for example. with the Shah, yes. Carter and Kissinger and the American involvement there. Can you kind of walk us through what happened?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Unfortunately, we as the Persians, we don't like President Carter at all, because we think he's the main problem for that country. But we know it was not only Carter. Back there was Kissinger and other people. We know that perfectly. But unfortunately, they played the chess wrong, and now they can't touch it, because they are facing also a criminal regime. Because I know we have seen the American soldiers, they are not going to shoot the children and women. If they are fighting, they are fighting like a man. But look at this terrorist regime.
Yeah,
exactly. They have rules.
Yeah, yeah.
They have educated. But look at that terrorist regime. What they are doing with children. Yep. What they are doing with young people. Mm. If they don't work, they can't go to school. What is going on? The children, the people, the young people have to be educated. They need to be educated. And as you know, a lot of them are coming out of that country and they get their political asylum in Europe, United States, and thank God the doors are open for them.
Right.
But why that happened in our country? Why? And it's 38 years, close to 40 years. We are yelling, we are shouting, we are giving out all the documents. We are on Twitters, we are on Facebook, we are on radio and televisions, we are in newspapers, but nobody is helping us.
Okay, now how can, this is something that I do want to get into. How can we help you 38 years later? What can we do as Americans and as people of the West to help you change things the way they are? I mean, help you change the way they are. What can we do?
The most important thing, probably, some people doesn't like my idea. The most important, you shouldn't go in war with that country.
Okay.
Because in any country, when you go to war with that government, with any government, the people are behind that government. It doesn't matter how worse they are, because they are looking for their own security.
Right.
In my opinion, as a soldier daughter, we have to clean up few high ranks in that regime.
All right.
By snipers or whatever.
Okay.
And then you will see next morning how the country becomes. The next morning, everybody, all of those mullahs, are shaving their beards, which they have residency of other countries. They will fly out. And they are going to hide each other. But if we go to war, the people are behind that country.
I understand that. And you make a great point there. Mm-hmm. And forgive me for interrupting, but I just want to kind of, just to clarify this. Here we have the neocons. Maybe that's a bad word. The globalists in the West, and specifically in America, saying Iran presents this threat. They're a nuclear power, or they're soon to become a nuclear power. We must stop them. And, of course, their answer is war. But what you're saying is, wait, a better and more effective way, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a more effective way would be a precision kind of operation to take out a few key people And that would, of course, then change the complexion.
That helps. Let me tell you, I am not a politician. I am somebody, I'm a soldier. I'm working for the freedom for that country. First, for my father, because they killed my father. I'm 100% against them. And I don't have fear to say that. They know it very well. Second, it's for Iran and Iranian people. The freedom of Iran and Iranian people.
Okay.
If I tell you something else, I have lied to your listeners, I have lied to you, and I have lied to myself. If we could send 500 snipers in that country and just shoot that few high ranks, you will see what will happen in that country.
Now, can I ask you this? Looking ahead, let's just say, using your model of change, that does happen. Let's just say magically, somehow, you're able to grab the ear of President Trump and the military machinery and make that happen. Walk us through, what would the Iran of tomorrow look like?
Well, it's very hard. It's very hard. Do you know, in my opinion, we don't have any better choice than Reza Pahlavi, the Prince of Iran.
Okay.
But he is always telling us that we have to ask the people to vote for that country.
Okay.
Well, I am sure he's the best candidate for that country.
Okay, let's assume that he would assume control and power. Would the streets of Iran look like the streets perhaps of New York, or the streets of Tehran, for example, look like the streets of New York or any American city, as opposed to the symbol of oppression that we see today? Would that change take place?
It will. It will. Doc, I am sure that is one of the hugest celebrating in the world.
Okay.
I am sure everybody is coming out and everybody is praying and everybody thanking God that they got their freedom back.
Wow. And you would be obviously in celebration mode because you would be freeing an oppressed people and averting a disastrous war that would be horrendous for so many Iranians, Persians, so many people in the West as well as in the East. That's amazing. We're about...
Then I can be retired as soon as I can.
You can. And wouldn't that feel great, actually?
It is. If God helps me, it is.
Do you think that's possible? Do you think it's possible for that to happen as opposed to a full military conflict because of Iran's becoming this nuclear power? Do you think it's possible?
Well, everything is possible from that criminal government. Everything. They are buying time from, and they are, how can I explain it? They are buying time from United States and other governments.
I understand.
You know, and then I afraid again they become powerful. See, we got the nuclear during the Shah. If he was there, he was making it. With the Shah and his government, there was no fear because they were very knowledgeable, very educated. Peace was very, very important, do you know?
Yep.
But with these criminals, you can't trust anything.
No. And we've seen that.
You can't trust anything. And look, on the side is the MEC, the Mujahideen. I understand. Okay. And then are, McCain is going to have a visit with them.
Right.
Or freedom, freedom under the list of the terrorism. No, the MEC is there, staying there. If something happens, they are going to send MEC to the country. Look, in the beginning of the revolution in Iran, the Mujahideen went in. They have terrorized a lot of people. They have executed a lot of people with this Khomeini's regime. And then the Khomeini regime killed those people, the Mujahideen.
Oh, okay. So,
because the Mujahideen doesn't have any place, any room, even half of inch for that country. No, we don't like them.
I understand that. Okay, Shirin Nashat, hold on. We're up against the bottom of the hour. Network break, another 3 minutes, and then the final segment with you. What an incredible interview. The daughter of one of the highest ranking members of the Shah's government with us, a woman in exile, a woman who wants to see peace under a non-oppressed Persia. Stay right where you're at.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.trainpersonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
And Welcome back to the Hagman Report. Our very special guest is a very tenacious, a very courageous woman. Her name is Shirin Nashat. She is absolutely, again, courageous doesn't even begin to describe it. Her website is alinashat.org. She is the co-founder of the United Front of Military and Iranian People. And she understands, and all of the West, I hope everyone listening and viewing understands that Iran was not, the Iran of today was not the Iran of the 1970s. Now, for all of the revisionist history we've heard, with respect to, you know, under the regime under the Shah, of course, no government is perfect, by the way. I'll just say that. No government is perfect. But you compare the lifestyles, the academia, the cultural freedom under the Shah, as opposed to what we're seeing today in Iran, two totally separate universes. And imagine folks waking up and suddenly, in a matter of days, seeing your country go from a robust economic and strong military and strong just a relatively free, and I use that word relatively intentionally, free country to what it is today. Unimaginable. But with us is Shirin Nashat, whose father was one of the highest ranking members serving the Shah at the time, and her father was executed on April 10th, 1979. And of course, Ms. Nashat is here, and present because she wants to see the return or the ouster of this oppressive, tyrannical regime in Iran right now to the way it was. And of course, we want to, of course, support her in her endeavors and efforts, and we support her fully. I say that because I know her, and I would urge everyone to visit and support alinashat.org. Before we get back with her, again, I want to remind everyone this, and it's important to understand there's two, if you do a search, a Google search, or a search using other search engines on Shirin Nashat, there is an intentional censorship taking place. You're going to come across another Shirin Nashat in a variation of that name. That's not who we're speaking to. Again, we're speaking to the daughter of a very high-ranking, one of the highest-ranking officials of the regime of the Shah, who's living in exile, a woman in exile right now, a life in exile, the voice of the Iranian people, the voice of the Iranian woman right now from somewhere here in the United States. So, getting back to her, I just want to caution everyone. Ms. Nashat, Carter facilitated, in my view, the overthrow. There's one question I really want to ask you, because I've been running this down for the majority of a decade. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, during the takeover of the U.S. Embassy in 1979, mm-hmm. Every piece of information I have, and we were one of the first organizations, the Northeast Intelligence Network, one of the first organizations out with this information, that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad took part in the takeover of the embassy, and in fact denied it. But is that true that he did? Was part of that?
Yes, sir. Of course he was.
Okay.
What do you expect from them? And then he becomes the president.
Right. Okay.
In that country.
All right. Because that was even denied. You know, when I wrote an article about that, I wrote an article that appeared in Canada Free Press, and I received a rebuke from someone within our own government saying that that's not true.
No. Believe me, that's true. One of the most problems here in the United States, because my son went and raised in the United States, he was studying Iranian history. and it was mostly about the revolution, which when he was talking to me, the professors are teaching them wrong.
Right. Okay. Wow.
They have to be educated or somebody knowledgeable from that country to do that. As you said, they say, no, Ahmadinejad was not. Yes, Ahmadinejad was there. We have the pictures that he was there with the hostages.
Wow. Okay. That's what I thought. But when you have members of, at the time, the Bush administration saying, no, that's not true.
No. Probably it's politics or something, which, no, I'm not a politician. I tell you everything the truth. And I don't have, I'm not afraid of anything. No.
Okay.
That is not right. You are right.
Okay. Well, thank you for that validation.
You're
all right.
You're very welcome.
Now, for the, we have you now for the remainder of this hour. So you, I would like you to go wherever you want to go in terms of addressing our audience, what they need to know, what you want to tell them, whether it be about regime change or about life in Iran or whatever it might be. You've got the floor. You direct the conversation during this segment, because I really want the people to appreciate your position, understand your position, and understand the sacrifice that you are making and have made. So you go ahead and take us wherever you'd like to take us.
Thank you very much. Do you know, my concern is the future generation, our young people, and I really asking the people educate themselves. Right now, unfortunately, from all kind of groups, there are websites. But be careful and go to the right website. Even they are asking for donation, this and that. Don't do that before making sure that is the right website. And try to understand Persian culture, Persian people. They love peace. And look what has happened to that country now. Just think about and pray for the Iranian people in that country, which they don't have anything in their hands to fight with this regime, with this terrorist regime. This terrorist regime is not only for Iran is a poison, for Middle East is a poison, and for the world is poison.
Okay.
And the people don't have anything in their hand to fight with them. The only way we can get rid of this regime is just remove some of the high ranks of that criminals.
Okay.
We can't go to war. First of all, our American soldiers here, I don't want them to lose, the parents lose their sons, daughters, the husbands, the wives, the brothers, the sisters. And the second, I don't want that country kill all the young people underage.
Sure.
The people over there, they are under a lot of pressure, financially, emotionally. See, when somebody is going to sell their kidneys for surviving, you have to know in what situation they are. Addiction is another problem in that country. And some people, I really hate to say that, and it's very, very painful for me as a woman, as a Iranian. They are letting their wives, their daughters, their sisters go here and there, or they are selling them to Arabic countries to get some money for living. there is a lot of problem which this criminal regime, this terrorist regime, doesn't let comes out. And the center of this terrorist regime is Iranian government in whole world. And see what the Persians are facing now. We need help.
Now, your organization can provide the help. In other words, people can go to, where should people go? I'm not going to, should they go to AliNishat.org?
Yes, AliNishat.org.
Okay.
And I can give you my email. If they go there, they can email me anything they want.
Okay. And yeah, without, you don't have to get
in
people.
In contacts.
Right. Okay. And we have it up on our screen for those viewing on YouTube.
And yes, I have a Facebook.
Okay.
What's under AliNishat or
okay.
Shirin Nishat.
Okay.
It is my father's picture with his army uniform.
Okay. And we have
and
it
they
on
can
screen.
Be in touch on Facebook with me.
Okay. And I would urge people to do that because now you, to me, you are the face, the person, the woman, the, well, you are the face of the, Persian exile. And people need to understand what happened, why it happened, how it happened. I think everyone understands how it happened, but the why and the who, equally clear. And I think you've solidified that. Now, what to do about it? And of course, you are standing in the gap here and attempting to change back to do whatever we can or you can to bring back the life that you once had prior to this Iranian revolution, prior to this invasion by Khomeini.
Yes.
Okay. And by the way, I want to thank you. I did not, I knew Ayatollah was a title, but I didn't know
yes.
what it meant. I didn't,
yes. Most of the people doesn't know it, and it's really hard for us. Ayatollah is the person who is coming from the side of the God, which these criminals, these almonds, never God send them to us. Do you know Ayatollah means that somebody from the God.
Right.
But
okay.
Which of the things that they have done you cannot prove and God cannot prove?
Very
none of them.
Interesting.
In our language, we call them Afatullah. Afat is omen.
Right. Okay.
We don't have respect. That's a respectful name for, you know, it's like you say pop, use the pop for everybody. No, you can't use that.
I understand. Okay. And I think people need to understand when we talk about Persian culture and suffice it to say, I think that clarification, that distinction was critically important, and I want to thank you for that. All right. In the remaining moments we have here with you, so people can read, and I would urge everyone to go to AliNishat.org. One of the most, and if you permit me to do this, Ms. Nishat, you had written an article, an entry. It's titled "My Thoughts," and it's dated May 2nd of this year, and I was moved by that. You know how everything happened, and it's just a tremendously informative article about kind of how you got where, or how we got where we're at, or how Iran got where it is today, and what it was like before.
Yes.
Very interesting.
It's a huge difference. Huge difference. Even I can tell you strongly, it's not a safe place to travel at all. I know every country needs tourism, but we have seen few things from that government. It's better not to go and travel over there for your vacations or something. Be very careful.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I don't know if too many people these days are planning a vacation in Tehran or any place, although I hear it's a beautiful city.
It is, and they have continued all the plans from during the Shah, whatever plans we had, and they have made all the buildings, highways, this and that. They haven't done anything. These are all plans from during the Shah of Iran.
Right. I can compare it almost to the United States. It's almost as if once the takeover happened, so did the repair or the growth of the infrastructure, growth of the, you know,
yes,
everything,
yes,
just
these
stopped.
These are where the plans, yeah. Well, everything stopped because they didn't have any plans, nothing. But then after they took over, all the plants that you see, all the beauty in that country that you see right now, which it doesn't have any freedom, nothing, but it looks pretty, it's from the plants for during His Majesty.
Okay. And
they have continued those things. They got the plants and everything. And you saw with the nuclear. If nuclear was during the Shah, but Shah was a trusted person, but not then. We are proud that we are going to have nuclear, but not with them. Do you know, you never know what it comes. As we see all the time, they are buying time and taking advantage of United States government, and
yes,
they continue whatever they want to do.
You know, do you feel, and as we get close to the end of the show here, or the end of the episode, or the segment, do you feel that, I mean, obviously we see the mullahs, that regime exporting terrorism. Do you feel that the people in power right now, should they obtain nuclear, the capability of nuclear weapons? I mean, some, you know, the ICBM.
John, with this government, see, as an Iranian, I'm proud.
Okay.
If His Majesty was there, I was more proud.
But we were
comfortable and nothing was happening. Everything was peace. But with this government, I really afraid.
Okay. That was my question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you would not, and I understand that. It's the difference between,
two regimes.
Exactly. There you have it. And the exporting of terrorism by the current regime as opposed to before. And I fully understand that. Right.
And as I said, Iranian government is the center of terrorism. Whatever comes out, because the Iranian government, not the Iranians.
Exactly.
The Iranian governments help the other countries for terrorizing.
Okay. Well, I've got about 2 minutes left here of our segment, before we have to break. So, Shireen Nashat has been our guest. Again, her father, one of the highest positions held in the Shah's government. 2 minutes. You've got actually listeners from, I think, 91 countries right now listening to you. I just checked with John. So, whatever you want to say in 2 minutes, in closing, again, the floor is yours.
I just want to appreciate all of the 91 countries that they are listening to me, and I hope one day we can have free Iran and free people of Iran, and the democracy goes back to that country. And thank you for listening, and here I have to appreciate Doc I have to say thank you, Doug, for inviting me.
Oh,
and it's our Brent Berlisky,
yes,
and John Robinson. I really appreciate, and all the crew that they are working with you.
Well, thank you. Now, would you keep in touch with us and let us know?
Of course. Okay. My pleasure.
All right. Because
if you, anytime you need me, your listeners would like to be in touch with us, I am there.
Very good. And I would urge everyone to visit alinashat.org and communicate with Ms. Nashat and go ahead and send her an email, but understand what's there and understand what this courageous woman represents. And I want to say thank you for your courageousness, your tenacity, and for all that you do.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being in your program.
That's a pleasure having you. All right. Thank you so very much, Shireen Nashat. My goodness. Folks, let me tell you something. And I want to thank Brent Berlisky, class act, as well as John Robertson for arranging this interview. You heard what you just heard there. Kevin Shipp interviewed Ms. Nashat last month, but these interviews, this woman, you gotta understand that this would be equivalent of, I don't know, the president's chief of staff, the daughter of the president's chief of staff. I mean, understand the context, understand the position here. This is her father held a very important position, and imagine one day all of that changing, or in the course of a couple of days all of that changing, and having to flee the country of your birth and your heritage, and that country changing from the secular condition under the Shah, basically secular, you understand, I'm not going to get into the minutia of it, but to this oppressive Islamic regime, and facilitated by Jimmy Carter and Kissinger and the globalists for a specific purpose. And again, time does not permit me to get into the reasons. But she does represent the voice of the people, United Front of Military and Iranian People. And now if our phones and computers weren't monitored before, I can guarantee you they are now. Just saying. I just lost power to my terminal over here, but I was going to mention, folks, before we bring on our next guest, Jake McCandless, I want to mention this. In case you haven't heard or seen about this, the data breach with Equifax, I think 143 million, people have been affected. Their security, their data has been breached. It's an incredible breach. I think that they are understating the numbers and understating the significance of this, but we're seeing these cyber breaches take place more and more. So we're going to be paying attention to that, and I would urge everyone to pay attention to that. Oh, look at that. It just came back on. Equifax, again, Equifax says cyber attack may have hit 143 million customers. That's no small issue. Other news, of course, Bob Menendez from New Jersey. It's interesting, CNN reported him as a Republican. And you might think that's just a small mistake. Now, this is deliberate. But Bob Menendez is awaiting sentencing for embezzlement, basically. Criminal charges. So we're going to have a vacant seat in New Jersey. And it's interesting how the news media is not reporting on Menendez. And it's interesting as well that Navarro from CNN, who's depicted as some Republican, if you will, individual, and then Navarro, a Republican reporter, has, when we looked at and did some research, has actually contributed money to Menendez, the Menendez campaign in the office, as well as $20,000 over the course of a number of years to the Democratic causes. So, it's interesting how you see the, what would you call them, the commentators, the political pundits, but they're not really these objective people. Of course, you knew that, but to find out exactly how deep they've waded into the swamp, and Navarro being one of the one, certainly one of many offenders, to be sure. And that's something that, that we're looking at as well. Menendez, there's going to be an open seat there, and that could change a lot of things. Now, what happens when there's an open seat? Is there an election, or does Chris Christie, from New Jersey have something to say about that? We're looking at that as well. And of course, the big news, and everyone knows about the hurricanes, Hurricane Irma, and our prayers go out to the people in Florida. I spoke with Ted Brewer down there. Of course, he's far inland. But I want everyone to pray for the people of Florida, the people on the east and west coast of Florida, as well as the Gulf Coast, and as it turns, or as it perhaps goes up the eastern seaboard. Is this something that we're being judged? Is this a judgment of God? You know, I do think it is. That's my personal opinion. Folks, we're going to be right back with Jake McCandless, Spiritual Prepper. Stay right where you're at.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentations. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.